What you must know is that population control is very difficult for us. There are only two ways for one of us to avoid becoming a parent. One is major surgery. The other is total abstinence from sexual congress. Teela was shocked. But that's terrible. It is a handicap. Do not misunderstand me. Surgery is not a substitute for abstinence. It is to enforce abstinence. Today, such surgery can be reversed. In the past, it was impossible. Few of my species will willingly undergo such surgery. Louis whistled. I should think so. So your population control depends on willpower. Yes. Abstinence has unpleasant side effects, with us as with most species. The result has traditionally been overpopulation. 500,000 years ago, we were 500,000,000,000 in human numbering. In Kzinti numbering...
My mathematics is good, said the Kazin. But these problems do not seem to relate to the unusual nature of your fleet.
He was not complaining, merely commenting. From the refreshment console, Speaker had procured a double-handed flagon of Kzinti design and 0.5 gallons capacity. But it does relate, Speaker. 500,000,000,000 civilized beings produce a good deal of heat as a byproduct of their civilization.
Were you civilized so long ago?
Certainly. What barbarian culture would support so large a population? We had long since run out of farming land and had been forced to terraform two worlds of our system for agriculture. For this, it was necessary to move them closer to our sun. You understand?
Your first experience in moving worlds. You used robot ships, of course.
Of course. And after that, food was not a problem. Living space was not a problem. We built high even then, and we like each other's company.
Herd instinct, I'll bet. Is that why this ship smells like a herd of puppeteers?
Yes, Louis. It is reassuring to us to smell the presence of our own kind. Our sole and only problem at the time of which I speak was heat.
Heat?
Heat is produced as a waste product of civilization.
I fail to understand, said Speaker to Animals.
Louis, who is a flatlander, understood perfectly, forbore to comment. Earth was far more crowded than Kazin. An example. You would wish a light source at night, would you not, Speaker? Without a light source, you must sleep, whether or not you have better things to do.
This is elementary.
Assume that your light source is perfect. That is, it gives off radiation only in the spectra visible to Kzinti. Nonetheless, all light which does not escape through the window will be absorbed by walls and furniture. It will become randomized heat. Another example. Earth produces too little natural fresh water for its 18 billions. Salt water must be distilled through fusion. This produces heat. But our world, so much more crowded, would die in a day without the distilling plants. A third example. Transportation involving changes in velocity always produces heat. Spacecraft filled with grain from the agricultural worlds produce heat on re-entry and distribute it through our atmosphere. They produce more heat on takeoff.
But cooling systems?
Most kinds of cooling systems only pump heat around and produce more heat for power.
I begin to understand. The more puppeteers, the more heat is produced.
Do you understand, then, that the heat of our civilization was making our world uninhabitable?
Smog, thought Louis Wu. Internal combustion engines, fission bombs, and fusion rockets in the atmosphere. Industrial garbage in the lakes and oceans. It's often enough that we've half killed ourselves in our own waste products. Without the fertility board, would the earth be dying now in its own waste heat? Incredible, said Speaker to Animals. Why didn't you leave?
Who would trust his life to the many deaths of space? Only one such as me. Should we settle worlds with our insane?
Send cargoes of frozen fertilized ova. Run the ships with crews of the insane.
Discussions of sex make me uncomfortable. Our biology is not adapted to such methods, but doubtless we could evolve something analogous. But to what purpose? Our population would be the same, and our world would still have been dying of its own waste heat.
Irrelevantly, Teela said,
I wish we could see out.
The puppeteer was astounded.
Are you sure?
Are you not subject to the fear of falling?
On a puppeteer ship?
Yes. In any case, our watching cannot increase the danger.
Very well.
Nessus spoke musically in his own tongue, and the ship vanished. They could see themselves and each other. They could see four crash couches resting on emptiness, and the refreshment console in the middle. All else was black space. But five worlds glowed in white splendor behind Tila's dark hair. They were of equal size, perhaps twice the angular diameter of the full moon as seen from the Earth. They formed a pentagram. Four of the worlds were circled by strings of tiny glaring lights, orbital suns giving off artificial yellow-white sunlight. These four were alike in brightness and appearance. Misty blue spheres, their continental outlines invisible at this distance. But the fifth world had no orbital lights. It glowed by its own light, in patches, the shapes of continents, and the colors of sunlight. Between the patches was a black that matched the black of surrounding space. And this black, too, was filled with stars. The black of space seemed to encroach on continents of sunlight.
I've never seen anything so beautiful, said Tila with tears in her voice.
And Louis, who had seen many things, was inclined to agree.
Incredible, said Speaker to Animals. I hardly dared believe it. You took your worlds with you.
Puppeteers don't trust spacecraft, Louis said absently. There was a touch of cold in the thought that he might have missed this, that the puppeteer might have chosen someone in his place. He might have died without seeing the puppeteer Rosette.
But how?
I had explained, said Nessus, that our civilization was dying in its own waste heat. Total conversion of energy had rid us of all waste products of civilization save that one. We had no choice but to move our world outward from its primary.
Was that not dangerous?
Very. There was much madness that year. For that reason, it is famous in our history. But we had purchased a reactionless, inertialess drive from the outsiders. You may guess their price. We are still paying in installments. We had moved two agricultural worlds. We had experimented with other useless worlds of our system using the outsider drive. In any case, we did it. We moved our world. In later millennia, our numbers reached a full trillion. The dearth of natural sunlight made it necessary to light our streets during the day, producing more heat. Our sun was misbehaving. In short, we found that a sun was a liability rather than an asset. We moved our world to a tenth of a light-year's distance, keeping the primary only as an anchor. We needed the farming worlds, and it would have been dangerous to let our world wander randomly through space. Otherwise, we would not have needed a sun at all.
So, said Louis, that's why nobody ever found the puppeteer world.
That was part of the reason.
We searched every yellow dwarf sun in known space, and a number outside it. Wait a minute, Nessus. Somebody would have found the farming planets in a Kepler or Rosette.
Louis, they were searching the wrong suns.
What? You're obviously from a yellow dwarf.
We evolved under a yellow dwarf star, somewhat like Procyon. You may know that in 500,000 years, Procyon will expand into the red giant stage.
Finnegal's heavy hand. Did your sun blow up into a red giant?
Yes. Shortly after we finished moving our world, our sun began the process of expansion. Your fathers were still using the upper thigh bone of an antelope to crack skulls. When you began to wonder where our world was, you were searching the wrong orbits about the wrong suns. We had brought suitable worlds from nearby systems, increasing our agricultural worlds to four, and setting them in a Kepler or Rosette. It was necessary to move them all simultaneously when the sun began to expand, and to supply them with sources of ultraviolet to compensate for the reddened radiation. You will understand that when the time came to abandon Galaxy, 200 years ago, we were well prepared. We had had practice in moving worlds.
The Rosette of worlds had been expanding for some time. Now the puppeteer world glowed beneath their feet, rising to engulf them. Scattered stars in the black seas had expanded to become scores of small islands. The continents burned like sunfire. Long ago, Louis Wu had stood at the void edge of Mount Lookatthat.
The Longfall River on that world ends in the tallest waterfall in known space. Louis's eyes had followed it down as far as they could penetrate the void mist. The featureless white of the void itself had grasped at his mind, and Louis Wu, half-hypnotized, had sworn to live forever. How else could he see all there was to see? Now he reaffirmed that decision, and the puppeteer world rose about him.